The reading is taken from Psalm 46. For the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spears. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence, and our prayer is that your word might be our rule, that your Holy Spirit, that he might be our teacher, and that your honour and your glory alone might be our supreme concern. For Jesus' sake we ask. Amen. Well, Psalm 46 is a well-known and favourite psalm, a favourite poem to many, and a great psalm also to consider in times of fear, anxiety and trouble. After all, it begins in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. The great battle hymn of the 16th century Reformation, written by the church reformer and preacher Martin Luther, was entitled, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. It was based on Luther's favourite psalm, Psalm 46. In both verse 7 and verse 11, we read these words, The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Apparently, during particularly dark and dangerous periods of the Reformation, Luther would turn to a trusted friend and exclaim, Let's sing the 46th psalm and let the devil do his worst. Psalm 46 is memorable and much loved, perhaps because it is so moving in its eloquence. For example, verse 2, We will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Verse 4, There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Verse 8, Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolation he has brought on the earth. Verse 10, He says, Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. In composing this song, this psalm, the writer, one of the sons of Korah, who we know relatively little about, is comparing and contrasting the great insecurity of earthly cities to the great and wonderful security of the one heavenly city. Let's start by looking at the great insecurity of our earthly cities. The great insecurity of our earthly cities. You see, I'm not sure that verses 2 and 3 are actually talking about earthquakes. No, rather, I think the writer is using this very graphic, poetic language to describe the most catastrophic thing that could have happened to people when this poem was first written hundreds of years ago. And what was that? Well, it would be the taking of their city by an invading army. These would have been times of tremendous upheaval. as if the earth were giving way beneath you, and the mountain that is your world was literally falling into the sea. If you've seen the end of the movie Troy, starring Brad Pitt and Eric Bana, you get the sense of the horror of the sacking, the taking of a city. What is interesting is that in our 21st century, unlike back then when this psalm was first written, we literally have bombs, missiles, and other weapons of warfare that could actually, literally, do what is being described in verses 2 and 3 of this psalm. In early Old Testament times, villages were small places of abode and without a surrounding wall. Most cities came to be walled for protection against enemies. So often when the Bible says that a certain individual built a city, what is meant is not that a new site was located or new buildings erected, but rather that an already inhabited village or city had a wall built around it, perhaps with several fortresses. The latter would have been areas where the wall was built higher and stronger so that the approach of an invading army could be seen from afar off, and weapons could be hurled down upon them as they attempted to take the city. The point is, cities could be besieged as one kingdom or nation went to war against another. And so verse 6 of our psalm, nations are in uproar, kingdom falls. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. Verse 8, come and see what the Lord has done, the desolation he has brought on the earth. Verse 9, he makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Of course, these conflicts were all within the sovereign control of the Lord Almighty. He allowed them to begin and he caused them to cease. The significance of verse 4, however, is this. If a city had a river running through it, or a good water supply, perhaps with plenty of fish, it was much harder to invade or to besiege. Ancient cities need water close at hand, especially during a siege or when being attacked by an invading army. Now, Jerusalem is one of the few ancient cities not built on a river. But thanks to a tunnel built by one of its kings, King Hezekiah, it had a good water supply. So in 2 Kings 25, the king of Babylon camped outside the city, building siege works around it. But it took about 2 years, as well as a famine, before the Babylonians could break through the wall and finally take the city. And make no mistakes, these were very unpleasant and tumultuous times. Earth-shattering. Shameful, unspeakable atrocities would take place. Women and girls raped, pregnant women ripped open, babies dashed against rocks, the innocent murdered while buildings were pillaged and burnt to the ground. But of course, our modern cities are no less insecure than these ancient ones. Sure, we don't need walls around our cities because, well, with laser-guided missiles, moral corruption within, social disintegration within, and silent killer viruses that prey on the most vulnerable, a wall is of little use except perhaps as a museum piece, like the old London Wall near the Barbican Centre in our own city. Well, think of it like this, when wall, economic downturns or a natural disaster ravages a city or a country. In his wisdom, God does not preserve believers from their effects. He doesn't allow cancer to strike only those who have lived lives rejecting him. No, trouble does and will strike the godly as well as the ungodly. So the question is this. When trouble does strike, do you want to face it with God as your refuge and strength? Or will you look for help elsewhere? Can you, will you find refuge, security and safety anywhere else? You see, my point is, our earthly cities are insecure. They are more vulnerable than we dare believe or imagine. And yet the current pandemic, which more than 10 weeks in is far from over, has taught us that our cities, the places where we live out our lives, whether ancient Jerusalem, Samaria and Babylon, or Sydney, London and Paris, are fragile places, vulnerable places, weak and insecure places. In the wake of the murder of George Floyd last month, there have been protests in cities all across one of the wealthiest countries on this planet. The US is experiencing the most widespread racial turbulence and civil unrest since the days of Dr. Martin Luther King back in the 1960s. President Trump this last week had to take immediate presidential action, I quote, to stop the violence and restore security and safety in America. Now, there is no getting away from the fact that our cities are places of great insecurity. The places where we live at our lives are places that are not secure. But that brings us back to verse 4 of our psalm, and secondly, to the great security of our heavenly home, our heavenly city, our true home. Look at verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Verse 5, God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Reminiscent of the Garden of Eden way back in Genesis chapter 2, the heavenly city of God has a river running through it. This represents the life-giving water that flows from God Almighty himself. That is, his life-giving power, or the Holy Spirit, who breathes life into all things. This city is God's temple. So any invading army foolish enough to come against it at break of day, verse 5, will find God within, protecting her, keeping her safe such that she will not and cannot ever fall. She can never be destroyed. Now, although I have no memory of living there, I was born in Birmingham here in England. I've also lived in Jamaica and in South Africa. But I've spent most of my life living as a citizen of this great city of London. Yet since finding refuge in the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, I have possessed dual citizenship. In fact, according to the New Testament, my real citizenship, my real home, is in the city that is above and not this insecure earthly one below. The Apostle Paul wanted the Christians he wrote to in the Roman colony of Philippi to understand that they were citizens of heaven first and citizens of Rome second. And this fact was to shape their conduct and lives here and now. So he wrote this to them. I have often told you, Philippians, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Your most foundational citizenship, if you are a committed follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the city that is above, And according to Luke 10 and verse 20, your name is written on record in your heavenly home, in your heavenly city. Now, if you come from another part of the world and you want to become a UK citizen so you can live here in London, you have to be over 18 years of age. You cannot be guilty of a serious crime. You need to be of sound character. You have to be currently living here in the UK. You have to be able to speak English to a certain standard. And fifthly, you have to pass the Life in the UK exam. Essentially, you have to earn your earthly citizenship. But if by the kindness of God, you have found refuge by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and all he's done for you through his life, death and resurrection, you already have your name inscribed in the heavenly city above. My point is, here and now, the benefits of your earthly citizenship, being able to vote, access to NHS treatment, free primary and secondary education, owning your own home, etc., etc., all these things and much more can be swept away or destroyed by a virus, a war, an economic or natural disaster, or even death itself. But nothing in all creation can take away your heavenly citizenship and its benefits. Well, what are some of those benefits, I hear you ask? Well, in a sermon entitled Christian Happiness, the 18th century preacher Jonathan Edwards said that there are three reasons why any true Christian can be completely content and free from worry. Three reasons. First, your bad things will turn out for good. Your bad things will turn out for good. The outward or worldly circumstances of this life are sometimes very bad. Let's be honest. But according to Romans 8:28, God will walk with you through it all so that even the bad things will have good effects in your heart and life, ultimately. Secondly, your good things cannot be taken away from you. What are all these good things? Well, to be able to stand guiltless and with a clear conscience in God's presence, because all your sins, past, present and future, have been forgiven or washed clean away by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Or you are loved with a great and transcendent love by the Creator of all things, who rules and governs the whole universe. Or you've been adopted into his family such that you are a child of the Most High God. A God who cares, guides and directs your every path to fountains of living water. You have the eternal Son of God who made the worlds and who is your Lord and Master, now interceding on your behalf before the throne of grace, while happy to call you his brother or sister. You are declared right with God, that is justified, and set apart for God, that is sanctified, and have God the Holy Spirit living inside you. None of these things, and more besides, can ever be taken away from you. So your bad things will turn out for good. Your good things cannot be taken away from you. And yet thirdly, the best things are yet to come. To quote Edwards in his rather old-fashioned language, he says this: the most artful composition of words would be to darken and cloud it. To talk of raptures and ecstasies, joy and singing, is but to set forth by very low shadows of the reality. In other words, the highest human rhetoric employed to describe the good things yet to come for the Christian can never ever do them justice. One day you and I are going to be transformed into being so radiant, so utterly glorious, that if we were to live here on earth, we would all be sorely tempted to worship one another. We will become far greater than any aspirations or anything we could ever, ever, ever imagine. And you will live with the Lord forever in a new heaven and a new earth, a new city. Brothers and sisters, the best is yet to come. Such will be the great security of our heavenly city, our new and everlasting home. But of course, this will only be so if you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, having turned away from all your wrongdoing and turned towards Him for cleansing and forgiveness. I'd urge you to do that if you haven't already. You see, only then, in the midst of life's turmoil, will you be able to be still and know that God is indeed God. Let's bow our heads, perhaps close our eyes as we pray together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the pandemic that has engulfed many of the major cities of our world, the many who have died here in the UK and elsewhere as a result, the economic and social problems this has caused, the stress and frustration of lockdown, the racial unrest in American cities, the tension between China and Hong Kong, the other conflict areas of our world, of which there are many, all these things and more speaks to the obvious insecurities of our earthly cities. Thank you that in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ we have the hope of a better city, a better world, and a better home to come. Help us to trust in the Lord Jesus. Some of us perhaps for the first time, others of us to continue trusting in Him. Trusting in His life, His death, and His resurrection, so that we might truly know You to be our refuge and strength, our present help despite the chaos and confusion of the world around us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.